So it's always been alarming to me how Christians cannot fellowship the Word of God through the Holy Ghost. We like to do it through the flesh and not through the Spirit of God. And in that fellowship, when we do it in the flesh, it's full of error. It's not, because we do it out of the reasoning of man and not out of the mind of Christ. And so that fellowship is incorrect, or it's wrong, and it can lead many people astray. So when we look at religion today, religion is very divisive because the fellowship of the Word of God is done through the mind of man and not through the Spirit of God. Because one thing I know for sure is that the Spirit of God will speak the same way to every man. In other words, the Spirit of God is not going to divide wrongfully the Word of God. It's going to divide it rightfully. So we know the scripture in Timothy where it says, study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. But it says more than that. But that's, in essence, that's what it says. And we know that only through the Spirit of God can it be rightly divided. So you cannot rightly divide it through man's reasoning. So theologically, we know that interpretations are wrong. I've been reading a new book that I bought for myself, and I bought it because my son was reading it, my son Mike. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to have some discussion with my son about the book, I guess I better read those books for myself. And they're very interesting. And, of course, they're the preface to them and the prologue to them are what are really interesting, because it talks about how they begin to set the book in order based upon what they knew, right? And so then you have to approach the book from the standpoint of being very selective about what you let into your mind. Because if, and I'll just tell you this, that the books are the books of Enoch, Enoch 1, Enoch 2, and Enoch 3, which were discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls in the early 1920s when the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. And so the Book of Enoch and the Book of Giants, which are true books when it comes to the writings of Enoch and God, it's just that the part you have to be very careful with is the interpretation that has been lent to the writing of the book when it comes to theologians translating it from Arabic writing and what's the other one? Manichean writings? How it's been interpreted to English. That's always a contradiction almost in itself. So you have to be very careful how you approach those things when you're reading them. The interesting part about them is that when you begin to read and you begin to understand what Enoch himself, because we know that Enoch was taken by God, right? Never saw death, right? He pleased the Lord. He pleased God and was no more. God took him. Now, just in that alone, you're like, okay, that's pretty awesome. Wouldn't it be nice if all of us were in a place to where we pleased God and God took us? I think that would be the way to live our lives. That's how we should be approaching God. And personally, I think that when it says that God took him and Enoch was no more, I believe that what that means is that Enoch didn't walk in the flesh anymore. He walked in the Spirit. Likewise, when the instruction comes to us, the goal or the objective or the purpose of God through the Word of God is to bring us to a place where we no longer walk after the flesh, right? And we certainly no longer know Jesus after the flesh. We only know him after the Spirit, because he is a Spirit. So these things become the important things of God to us because we believe. So what we're going to talk about today is that living water, because the living water becomes very important to the believer. It's not the water that we drink. We know that, right? But we know it's the water that comes from believing the Word of God. And so if you'll come with me to John, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to start with the 6th verse. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. How come, do anybody ever realize or come to the understanding of why the Jew and the Samaritan didn't relate to one another? Anybody? Because the Jews believed that the Samaritans were dirty. Dirty. They did not keep the law of God, neither thought it necessary to do so. And yet the Samaritans were Jews, or a type of Jew, let me put it that way. But the two didn't get along. What does that sound like? Does it sound like division? Does it sound like modern day Christianity, where we can't even sit down? I just can't get it out of my mind how I knew three young men who were beginning to fellowship the Word of God together on Tuesday nights. That was, they set Tuesday night apart to fellowship the Word of God together. But when it came to time to embrace the denominational barriers that existed, it blew up, fell apart, and they quit meeting together. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. In my mind, that is just plain wrong. That should not happen. But it happens everywhere all the time. We allow traditions of men to divide us when it comes to the spiritual, to Jesus being a spirit, and how we live our lives in the realities of Jesus Christ. We let the reasoning of man kill the Christ. That's not right. That's not good. Thus, that's why I don't trust denominational thought in any way, shape, or form. I only trust Jesus Christ. So it's important to understand that. And Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said this unto you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. Oh, man. So it sounds to me like if we know Jesus Christ, what will he give us to drink if we ask of him? He will give us living water. What will this water do? What will living water do for you? Anybody have a clue what living water will do for you? It'll be spirit water, and so it'll fill you, it will quench you forever. You will never, and Jesus is going to go on to say this, if you drink living water, you will never, ever thirst ever again. Now, I believe when Jesus said that, he meant it, that if you will drink this water that I will give you, you will never thirst. Let's go on. And the woman said unto him, sir, you don't have anything to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then are you going to get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? So all of a sudden she's beginning to mock the Christ, right? She's beginning to mock Jesus. You don't even have anything to draw water with, and yet you're saying that you can draw this living water. Are you greater than Jacob? And what's Jesus going to tell her? I am. He's going to tell her. And Jesus answered, said to her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh man, what did Jesus came to do for you? Why was he sent? We know John 3:16. It's a previous chapter. For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So in order to obtain the everlasting life, what must I partake of? Living water. So how do I partake of the living water? Well, we're going to see the answer this morning is just what you've been told of your elders. And to partake of the living water, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. And if you will believe in Jesus Christ, you will partake of living water. That's an amazing thing. Let's go on. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said to her, go, call your husband, and come hither. Now, did Jesus know who he was talking to? Yeah. He knew her mind. How did he know her mind? Because he's Jesus. He created it. This is important for all of us because every mind in this building right here today that is here fellowshipping one to another, even online, I will tell you this, Jesus knows your mind just as he knew this woman's mind. He knows it that well. So she said, what? Did she tell the Lord? I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you have said well, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, right? And he whom you now have is not your husband. In that saidest you truly. So, you've had five. You don't have a husband now, but you've had five of them. And the one that you have today is not your husband. Wow. Okay. So, this woman that he's talking to, how many husbands? Five. And the one that she has now is not her husband, but she has a man. She has a covering that is not of God. What covering do you have in your life? What are you married to? We want to hope that it's Jesus, do we not? So if it was Jesus, would we have living water welling up inside of us? And would it be bringing forth fruit, meat for repentance unto God? I'm saying it would. And you wouldn't be able to not know. You would know that that water was welling up in you and bringing forth that fruit. And the woman said to him, I perceive that you are a prophet. So here's her perception of Jesus. Because Jesus just told her something, her perception of him, of the Lord is now what? That he's a prophet. Is she right? Yeah, she is right. But I'm going to tell you this, her perception is going to change. It's going to grow. It's going to get bigger. And she's going to know that she's talking to God. You cannot experience living water and not know that you received it of God. Not possible. You will know that you received it of the Lord. Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at, I skipped the scripture. The woman said to him, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. What's he about ready to tell her? It's not in Jerusalem. It's not in the mountain. Where is it? It's in the Spirit. It's in the living water. It's what I'm giving to you now is how you will worship. Let's go on. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Wow, who just said that? The Lord did, right? How did he know that salvation was of the Jews? The Jew of the letter or the true Jew, the one of the Spirit? He's only talking about the true Jew. The Spirit, the Jew that knows the Spirit of God and knows that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. But the hour comes, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. So, he said all these things to her, and then he says, what? True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Did he say flesh or did he say spirit and truth? So the communication between believers is the Holy Ghost. That's how we commune the Word of God one to another through the Holy Ghost, through the living Spirit of God. That's how we fellowship. We've been saying for years now, my Lord saith unto thy Lord, sit thou at my right hand, correct? So even in the fellowship, my Lord saith unto thy Lord. So I am fellowshipping even in you, word to word, or truth to truth, or spirit to spirit. What makes the Word come alive? What makes the Word alive? The Spirit. So in the Old Testament, did they have scriptures that they read continuously? Did they go to the synagogue daily and read the Word of God? What didn't they have when it came to the reading of the Word of God? Why didn't they have the Spirit? What were they missing? Okay, they didn't believe, they didn't have faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so, and why couldn't they enter into the promised land? Why couldn't they enter into heaven? Because they had unbelief. They had no faith. They didn't believe God. Doesn't the Bible also say in the New Testament that he that cometh to God must believe that he is God? So now here's Jesus talking to this woman. Is she a believer or an unbeliever? She didn't know who it was who stood before her, though, did she? But as the Word of God comes to her, is her mind being changed? This is awesome, because every time you come to church or you come to the fellowship meetings that we have, is it not the Word of God in the Spirit of truth that is coming to you to change your mind, your perception, that the life of Christ is in the Holy Ghost? And as you receive it and believe it, that it's being transformed or translated, being made new, being born again, that you yourself take on the testimony of that same word, and you know within yourself, just like this woman, she went into the city and she proclaimed what? This man knew every, he told me about my whole life. How was she able to have that testimony come forth out of her being? She was drinking the living water, and it testified of Jesus Christ. And if you will drink that water, you will testify of Jesus Christ in the Spirit and not of yourself in the flesh. It separates the mind, changes the perception, sets us free to become the Son of God. Let's go on. God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to Jesus, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ, and when he has come, he will tell us all things. So she knew the message, right? Who stood before her? The Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. That's who she was talking to. Did she know him as the Messiah? Or did she just know him as a prophet? She knew him as a prophet. Let's go on. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak to you am he. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the Anointed One. And right when he said it to her, who came? Who showed up? His disciples. And they couldn't believe that he was talking to her alone. And man, did it get in their minds. I mean, they were going to judge the Lord here. And upon this came the disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, because she was what? A Samaritan. Yet no man said, what seekest you, or why do you talk with thou her? They didn't question the smart, weren't they? Kept their mouths shut. The woman left then her water pot and went her way to the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And Jesus said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Amen. We need to learn to eat what Jesus eats. Jesus eats spiritual food, not fleshly food. Jesus partakes in the word that he hears of the Father on a continuing daily basis. In other words, when Jesus spoke the scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why could Jesus preach that? Because it was his mind. And that's the mind that Jesus is giving you when you drink of living water, so that it delivers you out of the mind of the flesh and sets you free in the mind of the Spirit, so that now by the same water that you drank, you become that same word in and of yourself. You get recreated. You get made new. I want you to come with me to John 7. I'm going to start with verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So the news was getting out, right? The news was getting out that the Word of God had come, that the Messiah was preaching the Word of God, preaching the living Word, preaching and baptizing in the Spirit. Amen? Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Oh, man. How did they see this Jesus, John? What was their perception of it? In the flesh. And so here this fleshly man, in their perception, speaks these words. And all of a sudden, it blows their mind, right? They're like, what is he saying? He's going to go away, and where he goes, we can't come. We can't get there. And all of a sudden, they got all these questions. They're like disturbed. How many of you, when you began to hear the message of salvation in living fellowship, that Jesus is a spirit and you can't serve him in the flesh? The only avenue into heaven is through the Spirit of God. And that only in the Spirit of God could you be translated into heaven. And knowing that that heaven was in you and not out of you. And all of a sudden in your mind you're like, we even talked about dreams and visions, right? And elders would tell dreams and you'd be like, how did they get that? And we haven't even started into the things that have been revealed when it comes to being in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because now we're not, when we fellowship those things, we're not going to fellowship the flesh, we're going to fellowship in the Spirit, and all of a sudden the aspects of the soul become totally converted. We don't see ourselves as we see ourselves today. We don't see Jesus as a man. We now only know Jesus after the Spirit. Likewise, we only know ourselves as the Father knows us. And so when we converse, there's no judgment in it anymore, Bryce. We don't have to judge the thought of man after the flesh anymore. A pharisaical thought can only judge after the flesh. That's all it knows. Even Jesus' disciples, how did they judge the Pharisee? After the Spirit or after the flesh? After the flesh. That's all they had. And yet, they knew that the thought of the Pharisee was in error, because who told them that was? Jesus did. So were they still believing Jesus? But the translation in the mind had not taken place yet. What had to happen? Jesus had to die and be resurrected and send the Holy Ghost, which was the promise of the Father, even unto Abraham. Why do you think the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, them without us cannot be made perfect? What do those men being held under the altar need? What do they need of us? That we be filled with the Holy Ghost, and that the power of the resurrection take us out of this world and deliver us into heaven. Can you say amen? So we know Jesus after the flesh. And thankfully so, right? But how does God want us to know Jesus? Out of the Spirit. Where we don't talk about our flesh anymore. We talk about who we are in the aspects of the Spirit of God. Where we can speak the Word of God from a place in the heart where the aspects of the soul have been redeemed. And that's how we know ourselves today. From the redeeming, living Word of God, and that the only way I know Jesus is because now I know myself. That's awesome. So did Jesus come to deliver you out of the flesh and take you into the Spirit so that you could communicate with your Father, which art in heaven? So even in the prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Correct? And so when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he was already putting in them the way into the holy place, the way into heaven, so they could learn to communicate the Word of God with the Father. That's awesome. Who else do you want to communicate the Word of God with? Don't you want to learn to communicate the Word of God with Him who created it, Him who sent it, Him who formed it, and even formed you? And that in knowing the mind of Christ, you will know yourself, and you won't know yourself after the flesh anymore. You will know yourself after the Spirit, because now you've been created in the image of Jesus Christ. And we can communicate one to another by the Spirit of truth. I find these things to be the thrill of the gospel. If I'm going to preach the gospel, I'm going to preach a spiritual gospel, amen? Not a fleshly gospel. And I believe that the gospel that Jesus Christ came to deliver unto us is sufficient to deliver me out of the flesh into the Spirit and allow me to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There is no other gospel that I can preach that can do the same. Not one. Then said the Jews among themselves, "Where will he go that we shall not find him? And will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, 'You shall seek me and not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come'?" They were perplexed. How come they were so perplexed? Why do we get perplexed when it comes to the Word of God? Wrong perception. It's amazing how we sit down to read the Bible, right? And as we're reading it, we know, well, we don't know. As we read it, we know our mind is still flesh, because we get confused as we read it, because we don't understand that what I'm reading is in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, or it's not a place in history, right? Or it's not a place that's literal. It's a place that's spiritual, in a spiritual God, written by a spiritual God to a spiritual man, you. So when I read, I'm reading about the story of God in me, whom God has sent the Word to translate me into a spirit, to make me born again into a spirit where I can understand every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's awesome. And in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me," now listen to this, "he that believes on me, as the Scripture has said." Pastor Dan was here in October. Maybe it was before that. What did he say to all of us the morning he stood before you on Sunday? What did he say? Keep the sayings of who? Keep the sayings of Jesus. Why would he tell you that? So you could drink living water. So that you could be filled with the Spirit. Listen to this. "He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Out of his belly shall flow the Spirit of God. Out of his belly shall flow the life of Christ. Wow. So if I open up my mouth to speak, what comes forth? The Word of God. Anointed Word of God. In other words, it's not going to fall to the ground. The seed is not going to fall to the ground and bear not. It's going to fall to the ground and bring forth much fruit. Wow. That's awesome. "This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So flip a coin, whether you're going to receive it or not. Here, I got a coin. Want me to flip it for you? Flip a coin. You're going to receive it, heads or tails? Receive or not? I mean, that's how we approach it. That's how we approach it. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Has Jesus been glorified? I know that Jesus in me has been glorified. I can't speak for you. Only you can speak for you. And if Jesus has been glorified, then what shall you receive? The Holy Ghost. It's the promise of the Father. God is not a liar. He is telling you that if you will believe, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. So now, if I believe God, is there a manifestation? What is it? The Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. That's the manifestation. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. Some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? I mean, some were doubters. I mean, let's just face it. Not all men have faith. So you have thoughts in you that believe, and you have thoughts in you that don't believe. What's God after? He's after them all. He's after them all. Your world is going to be saved. But why does he call forth the believer? So that the world will know. We'll go to that, and we'll go to that in just a moment. Okay, turn with me to John 14. Now, in the 14th chapter of the book of John, the Holy Ghost is really stepping it up. I mean, he's truly saying that if you believe in God, believe thou also in me. Didn't he? And in John 17, he just puts it right there, right? But here he's saying, if you hear God, if you hear the Father, then hear me. So he's talking to Philip, right? Who's Philip? He's a disciple. What's Philip's problem? What? He wants to touch, feel, and see that it's Christ, the Christ, right? I mean, he's got to have evidence. He's got to have physical evidence in the flesh to know. What's Jesus going to tell him? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Get that spirit of doubt out. Let Christ have it. If that word of God is coming to you and you know that you doubt that he is the Christ, let Christ take that spirit of doubt out of you today. Doubt works in us all. Every one of us. I mean every one of us. Doubt works. If it didn't, man, would we be full? We'd be so full of the Holy Ghost. Whew, man. Pentecost could not even stand to be in the same room with a group of believers full of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about old Pentecost, old Assemblies of God, all them old folks, all them old thoughts that God's casting out. Man, the unity in the body of Christ because of believing the Word of God in the Spirit is powerful. The body of Christ, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word of God, full of power, is the greatest power we will ever know in our lives. So Jesus said to Philip, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest you then, show us the Father? So listen, Philip said it, but a lot of them were in the same mind. That doubt works strong in us and keeps us from entering in to all things Christ. Don't you believe that I am the Father, Philip, and that the Father is in me, and the words that I speak unto you, I speak of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the work? We have said many times that we want the works of Jesus Christ in us, right? And we have said many times that what must we do to do the works? Say it, Connie. Believe. Believe on Jesus. If you will believe on Jesus, the works of God are already in you. Yet we want to see it. Well, how do I know? I need to stick my finger in the palm of his hand so I know I can do the works. That's doubt. Do you know that in the Spirit, you can raise the dead? Do you know that in the Spirit, you can open blind eyes? Do you know that in the Spirit, you can cause the lame to walk? Do you know that in the Spirit, you can heal the brokenhearted? And yet, we think that, I mean, we can't see the evidence of it because we look for it where? We look for it in the flesh, outwardly. And yet, even in you, every time the Word of God comes and you all of a sudden become quickened by that Word, what just happened in you? The dead were raised to life. The dead were raised to life. And yet we think we need to be able to go and lay our hands on a dead person over here somewhere and see him rise up out of their bed. No, that's unbelief. That's not believing. Believing is knowing that what God has said is true. That's believing. Abraham, God told Abraham he was going to have a son, correct? Abraham believed God. Did it happen the next day? How long did it take? 25 years. 25 years. Does it say that Abraham got tried a little bit in what he believed? He staggered not in unbelief, but he still got tried in the Word. Did he take Hagar, his wife's handmaid? Did he have a son by Hagar? What did God call it? It was not the promise. This is not the promise. This is not the promise. You cannot create the promise in and of yourself. It can only come from the Father. Hear me. You cannot create the Holy Ghost. You cannot create the Spirit of Truth. It only comes from the Father. Because this Jesus that you believe in has resurrected from the dead and has taken the blood, his own blood, and taken it into heaven to cleanse you by the very word that he is and to present you as clean before the Father. Only Jesus Christ can do that for you. You cannot do that for yourself. And it's time that we learn it, John. He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for Jesus was not. This is why we preach the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus in you. Years ago, the Lord told Dan to sanctify the Lord. Why would we start with sanctify the Lord? Anybody know? Do you know that it's only through the process of sanctification that you become justified? And it's only through the process of being justified that you can become glorified. There's a starting place in God for all of it. And so believe the Word of God. It's the starting of your sanctification. Because you're sanctified through the Word of God, Frankie. If you will believe the Word of God, you'll be sanctified, cleansed by that same Word. How does God sanctify himself? How about through the same word that he gave to you? God is sanctified through the same word that he gives to you. That's called fellowship. That's called communication in the Spirit. That's pretty awesome. I'm going to skip way over now. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So what's necessary? We've got to love God. Who's your first love? Now you're entering your first church, right? If the first church in the book of Revelation, what did they forget? Their first love. So in order to come back to be reconciled to God, what did they have to find? Their first love. Who are you going to love? I'm going to love God. If a man love me, he will keep my words. We will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. So why do we keep the sayings of Jesus? Because we love God. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. So how do you want to remember everything? How are you going to remember everything? You got to have the Holy Ghost. You know what we try to do? We try to remember without the Holy Ghost. How's that work for most of you? You know what we will do? We will remember fleshly things and call it God. God does not want you to remember the things that are shared in the flesh. God wants you to remember through the Holy Ghost the things that He said to you from the beginning. When He knew you after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Do you know that every word that Jesus said to His disciples was to put in the mind of the disciples who they were in the Father. Not who they were out of the Father, who they were in the Father. So every word that Jesus says to you, the testimony of Himself in you, aligns the mind with the Word of God that creates in you the Spirit of God that you are. God hath already said that you're a Word. But what Word are you? That's all God's asking for, is you to come into the understanding of the Word that He created you to be, and that that Word finds its place in the body of Christ to form the body of Christ so that you have the testimony of Jesus Christ in you, and that it is holy and that it is pure. Because Jesus can only testify of Jesus. And the Holy Ghost can only testify of who? Of Jesus. The Holy Ghost has no testimony in and of itself because it is the Spirit of Jesus. It's the mind of Christ. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall... Now listen. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So in the Holy Ghost, the word that the Holy Ghost receives comes from who? It comes from the Father. Did Jesus come to do the will of the Father? And in doing the will of the Father, did He not say that I'll raise you up at the last day? So if Jesus came to raise you up at the last day, when you come to the end of yourself, where are you going to go? I'm going to go to the Father. Heaven is my choice. Heaven is my choice. I choose to obey God. And for that purpose, I was ordained to the Father. You did not choose me. I've chosen you and ordained you. Isn't that what He told His disciples in John the 13th chapter? It is. Now we're becoming the people of God. Now we're being changed by the Spirit of the Lord. Now we're beginning to see as the Father sees us. Each and every one of us should know our angel. Did you hear me? Each and every one of us should know. And there's many things to be said about that. I look at the divisions in this world today based upon male, female, based upon husband, wife, based upon children, all those things that we express today, the confusion in the world because of not knowing God and not knowing the salvation of the Lord, it's horrendous. Even to the place where we believe a woman has the right to kill a child up until the time it's born. That's disgusting. I can't even for a moment understand a thought that works that. That's murder. That's hate. That's hate. You want to talk about hate crimes? Let's put it in its right place, shall we? Let's love God. Do you know that if we will believe and keep the sayings of God, all of that, all of it goes away. All of it goes away. Every person that hears my voice today, You have been given the opportunity to live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. To know who he is of a truth. To know the spirit of truth that is in you. It's been given you by the Holy Ghost. So that you can keep the sayings of Jesus. Walk in them and be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The power of the resurrected Christ in you, your hope of glory. Years ago, I was sitting studying the Word of God, and then I'm talking in the old church. We were living in the parsonage. And I was just between myself about some things when it came to the Word of God and where we were in it and where I believed that God wanted us to be in it. We weren't there. And I was praying. I was up studying late one night. I had a little office on the first floor of that house. And I was sitting at that desk, and I was just pouring myself out before God. And all of a sudden, I began to hear the angels sing. And this is not a lie. I'm telling you, this is an experience that happened because I was pouring my heart out before the Lord. There were some things that I needed to hear from God, and as I was praying, I could begin to hear the angels sing. And they sang this. And it's in Philippians, the 4th chapter. And hopefully I can sing it for you this morning. And you'll understand it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through the Lord. For the resurrection power is living in me. For the resurrection power is living in me. For the resurrection power is living in me. I can do all things through the Lord. Now, do you believe that today? It's the truth. And as I began to sing that song, it began to lift me out, lift me up. And I was strengthened of God just in singing those few words. And I will tell you this. Pour yourself out before God. Come to the end of yourself and let God strengthen you. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have confusion. You will have contention. You will have strife. You're going to have it all. But fear not, for I have overcome the world. And when you pour yourself out before the Lord, when you pray and come to an end of yourself, God is there. And he will strengthen you. And you'll begin to experience the overcoming power of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. God bless you today.